Welcome to Dry Hard Pod, a podcast by two dry millennials learning to live their most authentic lives after booze.
Okay, cool. Hey, Kaylee, how many days have you been alcohol-free and how are you? Tell us.
Hey, I am 100 and... nope. What the fuck? I'm literally reading the number and it's not happening. 615 days sober.
It's because we took a break.
It's, yeah.
So you're like, how do I podcast?
I can't. It is. It's like, how do I talk? That's how many days I've been sober. What are you up to? How's your week been, dude? It's Friday today that we're recording, which is a little different.
Yeah. Week's been okay. It's been rainy here, and it's the first week of June, and so I'm pissed about it. So that's how the week's been. But Monday, Tuesday were horrible. I spun this big web of lies about why my life sucks. And then I had like the best day ever on Thursday. And I was like, oops, I just tied a narrative to something that's not true because I wanted to explain why I wasn't feeling well. And why I wasn't feeling well is because sometimes we just don't have good days. So I'm just trying to keep that shit in check today, you know, where I'm like, oh, today was long. And I'm like, dude, I literally did whatever the fuck I wanted today at work. I did nothing. And now I'm home talking to my best friend and recording an episode of our really fucking funny podcast. And I just ate a Pop-Tart. So, you know, shit could be worse, man. But I think I've been sober for 524 days.
When you were talking about weaving the web of lies, which I love and sounds like so scary and dramatic, but you were saying you were telling yourself like false narratives. How do you identify that they're false? Like, how do you, I struggle with, is this something I should actually be mad about? Like, is it okay to be like, you know what, today sucks, it's okay, like just call out sick from work and go to sleep? Or no, I need to just like push through this, like this is fine, everything's fine, I'm fine, you know what I mean?
So I don't know, I still haven't mastered that yet. So I guess my process was, I'm having a really terrible day, I feel trapped. Like that's always the feeling I get when I am, we could use the term like just loosely, like out of alignment, right? So I didn't do my morning routine that I should have. Like I woke up that day like being like, this is gonna be a fucking shitty day. Like I already had that idea. And so therefore I wasn't armed to feel a feeling, notice it, and then let it go and then just move on. I was like attaching something to every bad thing that happened. I work in customer service in my day job, and I talked to something like 53 people on the phone that day. It's just too many calls to talk to old people that like didn't get their garbage picked up when they thought they should. And, you know, then I'm like, I need to quit my job. I need to do this. I'm this. And I go through this list of like ways to understand why I'm feeling bad and then ways to fix it. Instead of just being, and that's like the narrative, right? The web of lies I'm telling myself, you know, no one likes me. I have no friends. I fucking suck, you know, the whole thing, the whole thing. And, you know, then I talked to a friend and I just said, I'm having a bad day. And they were like, me too. And, she, you know, she told me what she was going through and I told her. And, you know, and she is one of my friends who likes to give me solutions. And I didn't fucking want a solution.
Yeah.
Which I'm also that friend that like wants to give people solutions and like tell me to shut the fuck up, please.
Yeah.
But she like tried to give me a solution. And I was just like, I do not have to fucking fix this. Like it's fine.
Yeah, like it shouldn't be on my plate to have to fix everything.
I don't need to create more work for myself, like get through the day. So then the next day I woke up and it was a work from home day, and I got up like 45 minutes earlier and I basked in my bed in the sun, like the sunlight. I'm not gonna say sunshine because like I said it's been raining, but like the gray light that was coming through my blinds. And I like pet my cat, and then I like picked up my book and I read a little bit, and then I meditated for 5 minutes, only 5 minutes. So that felt good. It was day 65 in a row for me. And then I wrote three things I was grateful for. And then I got up and a friend came over and worked from home and with me, and we had coffee and talked, and I worked, and it just was like, wait, like everything's fine. Yes, every day is not always going to be the perfect day, but every day is going to be difficult if I am meeting everything with resistance, right? Like, instead of just letting things pass through me, which is so easy to say after the fact. But that's what we're working on, is like bringing that into the present moment, I think, right? Like today, this is a little story. I'm getting tangent-y, so okay.
Yes, no, get okay, it.
So this fucking lady sent in her payment today, and she like circled the $2 late fee with like a bunch of question marks. And I was like, no. I fucking put her payment aside and I fucking got into her account and I called her. And I was like ready to slice her up because, of course, I need to defend myself, which is a lie, right? Like, why do I care? I don't need to put this 75-year-old lady in her place because she wants to know what the late fee is about. So I call her. And I was like, hi, this is Katie calling from your local garbage company. I noticed you sent in your bill and you circled the late fee. And she was like, this is what she said to me. Oh, yeah, I just felt really attacked in the moment. And I circled it and I put a bunch of question marks because I was just so offended. Like, I've never laid on my bill. And then I just felt like a failure.
She said that to you?
And I put... Yeah. Wow. And she's like, and then I put it in the mail and it's not even a big deal now. And I was like, I said, you are not a failure. I'm going to delete the $2 late fee. Like, you never pay your bill late. I'm so sorry. Like, it's just so funny because I felt like a failure when I called her. So I needed to like fight her about her being a failure. And she just straight up was like, I felt bad about myself. So I wanted to attack you. And I'm like, me too.
Isn't that crazy, though? Like, you having an honest mm-hmm. conversation and her being willing to be vulnerable and to be like, yeah, I'm sorry about
and
that.
And she opened the mm-hmm. door. She opened that door. And I just said, well, I honestly was going to call you to, like, justify the late payment. But, you know, it sounds like there's no reason to. I was like, you're literally never late. She's been a customer for 20 years.
Oh, my
years.
God.
Like, since a month after our business started. So that, you know, she's probably in her mm-hmm. 70s, to be totally honest with you. And I just said, you have nothing to worry about. Please don't beat yourself up over this bill. Like, it doesn't matter. And then we were talking a little bit just about, you know, the post office and blah, blah, blah. And I wound up putting her on auto pay and it being a great conversation. I hung up the phone and I cried.
Oh.
I cried. I was just like, everyone's just a human.
Yeah, like we're all just fucking trying to figure it out. And if we came yeah. with our guard down instead of up to those spaces, I don't mm-hmm. know. Everyone needs to be in therapy. But everyone needs to be doing this work.
Yeah.
Like,
well, it's just so funny because, you know, like I said, I called with my defenses up, my mm-hmm. guard up. And I was so proud of myself, too, for being able to, like, let yeah. it down enough. Like, even in my voice when I called mm-hmm. her, right? Like, she wouldn't have said that to me had it not, like, if she wasn't getting the energy that she could, I would receive it if she was vulnerable when she shared.
True. That's a good point.
You know, and so I was just like, oh my gosh, we co-created a new narrative and we solved her problem also. And then I felt super grateful and she was really compassionate and grateful. And we got off the phone and I was like, oh my God, if I just fucking met people with compassion and had compassion for myself instead of judgment for people and judgment for myself, like that's all it is. It's just about me. It's not actually about them. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't really know where this is going, but that's the theme. So,
yeah, I can definitely relate it to like how my week's been too.
Tell.
We'll tie it all together. We'll co-create a narrative that will make sense.
Also, we have no episode planned for today, you guys. We're just talking to each other. So, we're just going to be spitballing.
Yeah, exactly.
Go for it.
Well, this week I have kind of been starting on a new team at work and it has been a lot. I've had to learn like a new team and how it works. And then I'm on two projects and then having to learn the client as well. And so keeping everything together in my head and feeling like I have things down and I'm like checking my boxes is not the way that I'm feeling right now. And I found that when I feel that way, I just don't want to do it. I just like do not, I lose all motivation, all care. And I do get super depressed because I put a lot of my self-worth in work, which is a whole other thing. Oh, you know, it's that type A and the people pleasing and all of that comes into my work, right? It's something I do for 8 hours of the day and I'm that person just in general. So how it plays into work is I found myself getting a little defensive with when I'm getting feedback, even though I need the feedback in order to know what I'm doing. But I'm like getting feedback and thinking like, well, I wish I just would have known that. Or like, I really wish I would have had some onboarding so that I wouldn't have had to fail in order to learn. Because I don't like that, you know?
Yeah, it's uncomfortable. You're like, if I could have just been as prepared as possible, like if you could have prepared me better, then I wouldn't be making these mistakes and then I wouldn't have to be having these uncomfortable conversations. Yeah,
exactly.
Everything is to avoid discomfort. I mean, all of it, literally fucking everything.
And then I'm thinking that I'm doing a bad job. And the fact of the matter is I'm probably not doing a bad job. And I've been getting so much positive feedback that I've been actually screenshotting and going back and rereading.
And sending to our group message.
Yeah, so that other people can hold me accountable and Danny can hold me accountable and he can be like, hey,
Here's evidence that they like you and that you are doing a great job.
But I feel like I have a bad attitude. I have no energy and that I'm not really keeping up on the things because I didn't get to do it perfect and organized from the start. So I don't know. I just don't want to it's like a teeny tiny necklace that you feel like you have to untangle.
So we talk about Meg from You Don't Have to Drink. That's her Instagram handle at You Don't Have to Drink. She posted this meme or graphic, if you will, today on her stories and was like, my boss sent this to me today with like crying faces. And it was like these little bubbles. It was like what I think showing up every day looks like. And it's like 5 day like bubbles that are filled in completely. And then what it actually looks like. And it's 5 bubbles that are all partially filled in. Like we're showing up every day and we can't do it 100% every single day. Like we can only show up with part of our bubble filled in because that is who we are. Like the human race is an imperfect species. Like this is just us learning and existing. Like you can't be 100% all the time. It's impossible.
I don't know. It is hard. There's always like a work day that I'm having to kind of fit in. But I'm realizing that sometimes I'm like right now after this podcast, if I were to sit on my laptop, I would probably get it all done and feel amazing for the week. So like, yes, I don't want to work on my weekend. It's a Friday night, but that might be like the time that works the best for me. So having those like flexible working hours is really helpful for people like me who feel like I need to take a nap and I need to recharge and I need to reset at like 3 p.m., especially when I'm on my period. And then at night, I'm like, I'm good to go now, you know, but that doesn't work for people who are trying to contact me because it's, you know.
Yeah, my workflow is like that too. And like I was saying, I like on Monday, my output was crazy, crazy, crazy. And on Tuesday, I just like let it be bare minimum. Like I still showed up to, you know, I still answered the phone calls. I did schedule some meetings for later in the week, though. I was like, you know, there's this customer who wants us to do this project for this event that they're hosting later this summer. And they call every year and they want me to arrange this. It is a very large festival that takes place in Eugene every year. And they want to call me and they want to schedule like 6 dumpsters for thousands of people. And they want all of the prices on the phone and they want to know the schedule right then. And they want me to get everything set up. And I like practiced my boundary setting and I just said, I'm going to grab all this information from you and then I'm going to call you on Wednesday at 2, does 2 o'clock work for you? And we'll go over all of the details.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, yeah, that's great. And I was like, perfect. Because it's like a 45-minute conversation. Like, what are all the gate codes? What are all the trails that we need to know? Like, I need the, you know, the deets.
Dude, get that. Yes. Get that information so that you can make an informed decision.
Yeah. And I don't want to half-ass getting this planned and scheduled and then have my drivers not have what they need, because that's what's always happened mm-hmm. in the past when we've just done it on the fly for them. And I've just said, yeah, I've got time right now. Actually, my radio is going off and someone's been calling and beeping in my ear on the other line for the last 4 minutes during this conversation. I don't know anything that you're talking about anymore. So yeah, I, you know, in my past job, I got really good at that. I was given the permission to do that there, though.
Mm-hmm.
Here, I am the only person who works in my, I'm the only person that works administratively. So I'm not taking like a meeting later on in the week. Like, I'm doing everything right in the moment, because yeah. I feel like if I yeah. don't, then I'm going to get buried. But in all reality, it's happening the opposite way, like in real time. So,
dude, I think this, like, I don't know, just philosophy of work and productivity and all this is super interesting.
I was going to say, I've been diving into the human design, and a lot of that work is figuring out or understanding and acknowledging that each of us works differently.
Right.
Like, we all have different energy types and we're all able to put out something different at different times, and honoring that in each other would make the world work in such a more smooth way. You know, like, we're not all meant to wake up and work for 8 hours straight. Like, some people really mm-hmm. are, especially when they're lit up by what they're doing, but not all of us are. And something I'm learning about myself is that all of my centers or the chakra are totally open. So, and I work alone, which means mm-hmm. I'm only sourcing my own energy all day. I don't get to be light up by coworkers. I don't get to interact with a community or with a team. And I know that that's really missing and lacking in my life mm-hmm. and community just is in general right now. Dry Heart has community, but you know, I'm looking for something that's just a little bit more in person and low commitment level still, but where I can meet up with mm-hmm. a group of people twice a month and, you know, share in communal space. So that's on my list right now. And I think that just doing things like that and growing my team at work will help my energy level a lot, because it's important that I spend time alone, but I mean, I'm alone all day. Not a single person.
How cool is it though that you get to identify that like you have the tools to be able to identify yeah. instead of just coming home and being like, I had a shitty day at work, to be like, I am noticing about myself that I'm really missing this certain piece and it's really important for me to be around other people. But it's, again, like really, really difficult. But I've just been thinking about that in my life lately. Like, I want to slow down a little bit more just so I can think about like what the hell I'm doing and what I want to do, you know? So mm-hmm. I've been trying to focus on that. But anyway, not to get into like workplace politics or like more industrial psychology, but it is something that's interesting.
Well, I think that it applies to more than just work, Kaylee. It's like for myself, I was always given positive feedback and like kudos or attention for being mm-hmm. a quick learner,
mm-hmm.
for producing really quickly, for no turnaround time, you know? And it's something I've really valued about myself for a long time. I am fast on my feet. I can put out a fire, right? I can sign up that customer in 12 minutes instead of it actually being a 45-minute conversation.
And that is a skill, and that's a cool thing that you can have.
It is. However, it's not sustainable, as I've learned, right? Like, why am I feeling like I need to empty out at the end of every day and like be alone for 2 hours and not talk to anyone? A, mm-hmm. because I'm fucking allowed to be that way. But B, like when I'm constantly honoring what everyone else needs and not myself because I'm given good feedback about those results, mm-hmm. I'm not honoring myself at the end of the day. And man, oh my gosh, can we tie in alcohol here?
We probably should, right?
Yeah, I mean, are we talk about sobriety anymore or just like...
We're just chilling. We're big chilling. If you know me, you know I'm always drinking 5 NA beverages at one freaking time. So I love having different concoctions to switch things up. That's why Dry Hard Pod partnered with High Street Tonics, a woman-owned, locally crafted range of organic herbal bitters and honey cider vinegar tonics. The restorative tonics support digestion and well-being through their herbal properties, and they make the most amazing mocktails. Use the link in our bio to shop their website and use code DRYHARDPOD for 10% off when you purchase.
As you all know, I'm obsessed with Reframe app. It's the number one alcohol reduction app. It's built to help you drink less. Whether your goal is to cut back or quit entirely, Reframe is life-changing. Daily Zoom support groups, a community forum, and challenges, podcasts, TED Talks, you name it, over 100 resources are accessible in this app at any given time. You can download Reframe app on iOS, use the 7-day free trial, and use code KATY, Katie, for 10% off your subscription.
You know, I'm gonna segue here because I feel like this is a really important piece. Is like so much of the trauma or the experiences that I've gone through in my life have given me the magic, but also the bullshit baggage. So I get both, right? You get like the goodness, and then you also get the shit with it. But being quick and turning things around quickly for clients and my bosses and being able to move on my feet, that's comes from my experiences of having to survive that way. Mm-hmm. And so then at the end of the day, to deal with the pressure and the stress that then accumulates, I was drinking alcohol. So it's funny that all just goes in one big circle here, you know, like you don't really get to exercise the magic that you got from your trauma unless you're dealing with your shit too. Like otherwise you're just trying to numb the way that it makes you feel at the end of the day also.
Right.
Yeah. Damn.
Good job.
Yup.
Wait. Hang on.
Like it may not even make sense to anyone else, but I
loved it.
I definitely just feel that like removing alcohol is allowing me to notice that I was getting positive feedback for these actions, but they were also making me feel like shit because I wasn't honoring myself. There we go. That's a little bit more bow with a...
Yes.
A
yeah.
Knot with a bow. A tie with a bow. I don't...
Tied in a knot. Okay.
Okay.
What other gifts do you think that you have gotten through trauma? I think that it was cool that you said that you get like the magic and the bullshit, because I think a lot of people think it's just bullshit, right?
Mm-hmm. But like almost all of the things that make us special actually like were developed in those like high pressure situations.
This reminds me of, okay, this might seem like a way weird tangent, but when I was 15, my parents sent me to Northwest Youth Corps because my stepmom thought that I was a spoiled brat.
I did not. I feel like I'm constantly surprised by this wild shit that this woman has done to you. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
So I was dating this guy that they actually let me date. Of course, they had to like call his parents and all that stuff. But we started to get together right before summer was out, you know?
Oh no.
And I was going to be like, I can actually hang out with this guy. My parents are letting me spend time with him. I'm going to have the best summer just like chilling
with my boyfriend.
With my boyfriend and like sucking dick, and it's going to be great. Cuz I was also like a very horny teenager.
Okay.
I was just excited to like get all, you know, just figure it out. And he was hot. He was a skater boy.
No judgment. You're fine.
So my parents are like, sorry, we have other plans for you. We're sending you to Northwest Youth Corps. And for a month, you are going to be wearing like a hard hat and steel toe boots. And like, those like really thick, gross denim jeans and all of this shit. And you're going to go in the woods and you're going to camp and you're going to blah, blah, blah. And it ended up being a good experience, like in the long run. But I was fucking pissed.
Dude.
And I like made friends with this girl who was like, yeah, I was like doing a bunch of pills and like my parents sent me here. And like there was like, either people were sent there as like some sort of correctional thing, mm-hmm. or because they did like pay you to get like work experience to be in trade because they're interested in like
work
and do good shit.
Yeah. Wasn't
and like make money for their family too.
One of our friends was a youth corps counselor.
She was. And I will tell you, my youth corps counselor, Melissa, shout out. I have a note from her that she sent me when I came back to camp, because I came back to camp and found out that my boyfriend was cheating on me. And I was so sad. And she, I wrote her a note and was like, hey, Melissa, here's how things are going. Not great, obviously, whatever. And yeah, she's awesome. And I feel like our friend would be that for other people too, which is so cool.
Yeah, she said it was like the craziest, like saddest experience, like talking to these kids who were going fucking through it.
Yeah.
And like as an adult, when you feel like a kid, like I'm 31, I do not feel like I'm old enough to be counseling teenagers, but I am. Wild.
So anyway, we're going around this circle and we're kind of like trauma sharing at the end of a night. And, you know, like, why are you here? And I was like, yeah, I like smoke pot and I self-harm and I got grounded because I got drunk and, you know, this is why I'm here. And there's like similar stories. And then other people were like, I was having like really hard times at home and we're like excited to be there and not at home. And there was this one fucking girl who was like, I just really love my mom and my dad, and I really like to ride horses, and
what?
I don't know. I just, like, she had nothing. She had, like, it was, like, tell me about yourself and, like, why you're here and blah, 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 and everyone was saying these, like, fucking stuff. Like, my parents are getting a divorce, and just, you know, like, and not to say that, like, not to invalidate this person, but especially 15-year-old me was, like, fuck you, bitch. You're just here for, like, fun.
Like, which means that she's beyond more fucked up than anyone else there. Like, if she went to Northwest Youth Corps, there was some shit happening that no one knows about.
Yeah, I have some stories. Yeah, and then I came back, and I was a vegetarian, and my stepmom made it really hard for me to be a vegetarian. She was like, if you're going to be a vegetarian, you have to have a protein with every single meal. And... So if I was having like spaghetti, I couldn't just have like spaghetti and sauce and cheese. I had to have like Boca Burger, and options weren't as great back then. Like Boca Burger ground up and cooked and then put in the meat.
That's literally my husband's rule for me because I am a vegetarian. And he's like, you can't just have noodles and sauce and cheese. You have to have protein. And I'm like, fuck you and your protein. But it's true. You should have protein.
Yeah. And she was like, and where you have to pay for it yourself.
Bitch.
And I was like, cool. Cool, cool, cool. I mean, I worked full time when I was 15, so I was like, great, yeah. Cool.
So. No, I want to hear about all of it. This is, I'm just laughing. I'm just making fun of us.
Okay, so I walked to Safeway, and some of our friends used to call it like the Safeway Club Kids because like hang out like around Safeway and smoke cigarettes, because basically you would get kicked out. There was like always a group of us that like during lunch breaks would go to a spot and we'd smoke cigarettes, and you would eventually get kind of kicked out of different spots because people were trying to like live their lives and get groceries, and there was all these kids like smoking cigarettes who were clearly like not 18. So I went to Safeway and saw like a lot of my friends there, but I didn't see Jake. Oh, I just named him
Jake.
Anyway, I won't say his last name, but so Jake.
That's such a like bad boy hot skater name.
I know. And I called him when I got back from Northwest Youth Corps, and I was like, hey, it's me. And it's funny because when he asked me out, I said, I know that like we're in high school and I like, and it's summer's about to happen and I'm going to be gone for like an entire month. Are you sure you want to go out? Like,
and not see me ever?
And he was like, yeah, totally. Like, I'll wait for you. Or like, whatever.
the last words you ever heard him say.
Seriously, never fucking spoke again. So I called him and I left him a message and was like, hey, That's me.
You weren't at the smoke spot, bro.
And no, he didn't call me back. So I left him a voicemail. I hadn't heard from him. And then I went to Safeway and found the Safeway Club Kids and was like, hey, by the way, like, have you guys seen Jake? And they're like, oh, he's dating this person. And I was like, what?
He's my boyfriend. What do you mean?
What? And I'm like, how long have they been together?
He's like, 2 years.
like 3 weeks. And I'm like, okay.
Your life is literally over. Your life was over, wasn't it?
So I wrote Melissa, my counselor, and she like, I'll have to find it and read it to you. She was amazing. There was also this person there who like gave me a bunch of cool song and book suggestions. Mm. And they were like, really kind of felt like that older sister vibe, which I always wanted an older sister. So yeah.
Dude, I hated camp. Like I hated anything like that growing up.
I did outdoor, like not outdoor school, but I did Girl Scouts. I did camping. And then my dad put me in this outdoor program where every day you would go to a different like Honeyman Park in Florence, Bryce Creek, Blue River.
I hated it all. I hated it all because I felt like I never fit in.
Well, I was a little fairy kid, and so I just was like fucking catching salamanders and like making them kiss each other or something.
I was just always like trying so hard to be liked that I just stood out like a fucking thumb, like cringe 5,000.
That started in middle school for me. Like elementary school is when my authentic self like got buried and got lost for a while. So,
yeah. So what'd you learn from that trauma, Kaylee? What's your magic that you got from it?
I feel like I can make friends in any situation. And that,
oh, that was quick.
That makes me feel good. Like I met people there that I became friends with. And we kind of, like, if I'm in a shitty situation with a group, I can kind of befriend someone to survive, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Kitty, what I want to know, like, what you did in the summers as a kid. I feel like there's always something that like happens at summer camp or you get your like first crush.
My mom was our like primary caregiver, which I've talked about a lot. So we spent a lot of time in daycare and in camps and things like that. So my mom actually would fly us out to Oregon. My sister and I started flying alone when we were 5 and 6. And so Dana and I would, my little sister, who's a badass bitch, we would get our little flight attendant wings and we would fly United and have a little flight attendant person that would hang out with us, like an escort. What are they called? An escort?
I probably not an escort.
And so we would fly to Oregon to see my grandma. My dad was in prison most of like elementary to middle school. And so, but his mom and his dad were a huge part of our lives. And we would get to go visit him in the pen too. So, yeah, you know, it was our field trip across the country. And so we would get to my grandma's house and she was a total pushover. She would do whatever the fuck we wanted like her to do. So through...
I love that by saying that it's you're admitting like, and we fucking tested her. We,
oh my God. Yes, we did. Rest in peace, Grandma Karen. She was the shit. Also, I'm sure fucking wild. Like my mother is a saint for putting up with her mother-in-law just so I could have a grandma. Like I could not. So her ex-mother-in-law, I should say.
Yeah.
Anyways, oh, such good memories and fucking hilarious memories. Like I said, all through elementary school, really was attention seeking. Also, AKA like asking for help, crying for help.
Yeah.
But my sister and I would play with these kids in the park that was behind my grandma's house. And the rule was we had to be home before the streetlights would come on.
Mm-hmm.
So my first crush lived in Junction City. My grandma lived on the wrong side of the tracks. Like that's, you know, everyone says over there. And the park was literally out the back gate door of her house.
Mm.
Not good. So, and then there was a neighborhood. Yeah.
Yeah. We had where it was our house and then there was a fence and then there was an apartments.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Same kind of situation, except for there was just like another housing development that was old as fuck back there. And so we would go and sneak out. We wouldn't even really sneak out, but we weren't supposed to be hanging out with these boys. And they all lived in this house together, and we would play truth or dare, and I had braces and the fucking, just the whole thing. Every summer night was just like us fucking around, and I fell in love with this boy. We hung out every day. I don't think we ever kissed or anything like that. I was literally a fourth grader and fifth grader and sixth grader. So it went like fourth, the summer after fourth grade, the summer after fifth, the summer after sixth.
A summer fling. That is like every year. Oh my God. Yeah. I love that.
And a couple of the summers, like, or like halfway through the summers, it would switch to another boy. Like there were a couple that hung out back there. And like, you know, they would like me, and then they would like Jessica, who was a girl down the street who had a pool, and her mom always was so sick of our shit because we would just fuck up their backyard. But I'm getting off topic. So I remember.
I love that. Jessica's mom is like, get these grimy, horny kids out of my fucking pool.
Yeah.
Jessica, come inside. Don't play with those cats.
Yeah. So I remember one morning. It was the summer after sixth grade, and I had just got to Junction City. I've just flown across the country, and I was like, peace out, grandma. Fuck you. I'm going to go, you know, visit with this boy that I liked that I hadn't seen all year.
Mm-hmm.
And this was like, we didn't have social media or cell phones, so like, we didn't talk for a whole year. And I remember knocking on his door and his mom being like, we're moving tomorrow morning to Christmas Valley. And I was like, what do you mean you're moving? You're like, we are moving to Christmas Valley. Like, we're moving away for forever. I like went to my grandma's house and I wrote him a note, and then I took it there the next morning, and like literally it was the whole like I chased his parents' car to like give it to him. Anyways, I've never seen him ever since, but that was my story.
Summer loves lost, you know?
Yeah. And then I just really wanted to tell that story. You know what's actually really sad, though, is that now I live back in the area to where I was there. And one of the kids you would hang out with, I actually saw him. He's houseless now.
Oh.
And I saw him downtown, like outside of my old office building. And I like stopped and talked to him. He like doesn't remember me, or like he's totally not. And I'm just thinking,
so
like,
sad.
It's just fucking crazy. So anyways, my mother would send us to Girl Scout camp the second half of the summer. So we would go to my grandma's and we would come back and we'd have like 4 weeks until school started, and she'd send us to Girl Scout camp.
I love Girl Scout camp.
My sister also loved Girl Scout camp. I did not.
You hated it. Aww.
I hated it. I felt like an outsider. I felt too cool for school, but only because I felt like an outsider. You know, there's always the dress up day that you would do, like the costume day.
Yeah.
My sister and I were, my sister was Eliza Thornberry and I was the older sister, Deb.
Oh, Deb was cool.
Yeah. So I had like the parted hair and my mom did like the kinks in it, and I had like the JNCO jeans and like the oversized flannel and like the whole thing.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, we were swimming that day, and I was like, yeah, I can swim like in the lake. It's not a big deal. They're like, okay, well, you need to do the swim test. Well, I was like super excited to do the swim test / nervous, but like I thought it's fine, no problem. I literally half drowned in the middle of the lake, didn't pass the swim test, and one of the camp counselors had to jump in and save me.
Oh no.
That was the second time that's happened to me. And I made my mom come and get me halfway through the camp. And I was like, I'm not fucking doing this anymore. I'm not ever going to a camp ever again.
Every year you go and you try and pass a swim test.
And I couldn't.
And you pass that.
And I was in swimming lessons. Like, I was like, I graduated from a minnow. I was a shark. Like, it was all good in the pool. But don't put my ass in the fucking lake. It's disgusting.
Oh, yeah.
It is funny now because I'm, like, outdoorsies and I love, like, doing shit outside. But it was more so just about, like, this, like, the group activity stuff that just didn't feel good for me then. And I was going through it at a young age. Just
yeah.
So funny.
To be fair.
So funny.
I like Red Rover or like those games. No, never. But if it was like, you can choose to do an activity of like going on a hike or braiding a thing, I'm like,
I'm braiding.
Yeah, I could go on hikes and like play with string all fucking day. So
that's how my daughter is. She loves it. Okay, wait. I have a funny story about Red Rover.
Oh, okay.
And this is actually recent.
They still play it?
No.
Shut it down.
So I had a boyfriend. I had many boyfriends in elementary, middle school, but I exclusively dated this person like second grade to fifth grade, on and off.
That's like long term.
Yeah, he gifted me a Kid Rock CD for my birthday. It was at the bowling alley. The one with the middle finger on the inside on the CD. Okay, anyways, his name is Isaiah. We're still friends on Facebook. Shout out. But
shout out.
He messaged me a couple of months ago and was just like, hey, I'm going through pictures and I found this one of you and I. And he was a clown and I was I Dream of Jeannie. My mom like made me the costume and I had like these fake eyelashes on and it was so cute. Anyways, he was just like, what did he say? He said,
something
about thank you. He like said something about like, thank you for being such a good friend to me when I really needed it. So his mom passed away when we were fourth graders.
Oh, shit.
She had a brain aneurysm. And so it was just him and his dad and his brother. Mm-hmm. And we were just like laughing and just talking about random shit. And I said, this is about the time that you and Cameron Brunson fucking clotheslined me playing Red Rover. Like, literally, they wouldn't break their hands and they just fucking got me on the neck and it literally flew me upside down and onto my back. And he was like, holy shit, is that why it never worked out with us?
Aww.
And I was like, yeah, it fucking was. And he was like, dude, recess at Hartman was fucking brutal, man. Like, oh, that shit was nothing to fuck with. And I was like, it fucking was, dude. Oh my gosh, so funny. Anyways, he like sent me a bunch of pictures and we were just chatting and he seems like he's doing really well. And it's just so sweet to have those connections on social media that just bring you back, you know? Like a lot of it I had blocked out because it was fucking traumatic, but
totally.
Some of it, you know? And at the same time, his mom, his family was going through that. My stepdad was shot at work. Someone came in and open fired on the auto body shop he worked at. And so it was within the same couple of weeks that his mom had passed away and my stepdad was shot and in a coma for a few months. And yeah, so it's like one of the first like early trauma bonds that I really remember having Aww. With someone. And yeah, so anyways, it was just good to visit with him. Just makes you realize, like, that kids go through shit. Like, if it wasn't me, right, it's another kid. Like, fucking going through it at any given moment. You just don't know. Damn.
Which is why, circling all the way back to the beginning of the podcast, you have to come with your guard down and realize that people are just people. Because you might be thinking, like, replaying that clothesline. Or you might, every time you go to Safeway, think about...
getting fucking cheated on by your fucking boyfriend, Jake.
Yeah, getting cheated on and having to buy fucking Boca Burger crumbles for your spaghetti. And yeah.
Yeah, I still am not sure how we got on the summer topic, but I'm glad that the episode wound up being about that.
Yeah. Summer loves.
Oh, summer love.
And summer camp. I loved being in Girl Scouts. And then I remember this girl who, she was just beautiful and cute, and I don't know, she was just one of those girls that felt like she was always taking everything that I wanted.
Bitch. Is that your first time that you felt your not self, your bitterness?
Yeah, probably. And she was like, we're not doing Girl Scouts this now that we're in middle school. And I was like, oh,
we're not doing Girl Scouts.
I was like, I really liked Girl Scouts.
And you're like, okay, I won't do it anymore.
Yeah. Literally went home, told my dad, sorry. Hang up the fucking badges and...
I'm not a brownie anymore.
Yeah.
Wait, what level did you make it to in Girl Scouts?
Was I...
Juniors?
Juniors? Or did I stop at brownie?
So my sister was like, I think it was like, what, Daisy, then brownie, then...
Junior.
Junior and then Blue Jays?
I think so.
Am I making that up? Are you Googling?
I am going to Google it. I can't not.
Yeah, I never did any of it. Like, my mom sent me to the camps, but I was like, I'm not fucking doing that.
Dude, I didn't sell cookies at all. I like did not. I sold six boxes of fucking cookies and all these other
girls.
And
really all to yourself, to
yeah,
your dad.
Yeah. All these other girls were selling like 300 and, you know, they have like dance moms for Girl Scout cookies. And I'm like, I live with my dad, dude. Like, I'm not doing this.
Yeah. A dance mom for Girl Scout cookies. Okay. Wait. Wait, yes, you can go first. Tell me about the levels.
Daisies, grade K through one. Brownies. Uh-huh. So I didn't do Daisies. I started at Brownies. My parents were still together when I was a Daisy, so I didn't need the...
the extracurricular.
I didn't need the extracurricular. So Brownies, grades 2 through 3. Juniors, grades 4 through 5. Okay, so I made it through junior, but then I didn't do cadet, senior, or ambassador.
Cadet. My sister made it to cadets.
Cadet Kelly.
Fuck that.
Remember that? What were you going to say?
Okay, but wait. Next thing.
Yes.
Of the OG Girl Scout cookies, which is superior? Okay, let's go through them. Tagalongs.
No one buys tagalongs.
I like tagalongs.
I like them
don't
now, but like, no, like,
Okay, Samoas.
Yes, top.
Obviously, no matter what, especially like now that we have like our stoner palettes have been developed through the age of like you get the crunchy, you get the caramely, you get the coconut, a little crispy.
I love
you know,
it. Some people hate coconut. Same. Like they,
Steve hates it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, give me all of them. Mint thin?
Thin mints?
Thin mints? They're all right.
I don't really.
What's the peanut butter one? Is that the tagalong? No, tagalong is just the cookie.
Oh, shit.
The peanut butter ones are fucking good. My mom was a peanut butter person.
I like peanut butter.
My mom ate peanut butter and syrup on her waffles every single day.
Yeah, that's
of
how
my
grandparents serve them that way. Okay, let's
like,
see.
Like, so much butter, so much peanut butter. And we did Karo syrup, the white syrup.
Oh, I don't even know what that
which
is.
Which is just like high fructose corn syrup, probably.
Oh, wait. Okay, I fucked up. Okay. Thin mints, Samoas. Now they have these new Adventurefuls, which look good.
Yeah, we're not getting into that.
Don't love the name. Trefoils. Those are the ones that are just like the plain ass cookie. Tagalongs are good. Tagalongs are like
the peanut butter.
Yeah, the peanut butter. Fuck. When are Girl Scout cookies?
So what's your favorite? Samoa?
Samoa.
They just did. Girl Scout cookies just came. We missed.
I don't have the plug anymore.
Mine's Samoa. Dude, you didn't have the plug then. You fucking didn't sell any.
I know. I did not.
Now I'm sure that they just like do it through an affiliate link where they're just like, use my link
yeah.
to buy the Girl
hey
Scout
guys,
cookies.
Girl Scout. Use my link in bio.
With my LED lights in the background and my fucking filters and shit.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I cannot. I hate it. We're old.
I don't like it. And it's affecting my mental health.
So, I mean, I don't really know if we have anything to like tie in here because like we just talked about our summers and some weird shit. But what are you going to do tonight on Friday night? Like sometimes I feel like we don't ever talk about like what are we doing? Like what are you going to do tonight?
Okay, so Danny has been out all week. I dropped him off at his friend's house on Saturday in Eugene and then got to have a sleepover with Katie, which was super
fun. It was
fun.
So fun.
We got really into my human design. It was great. And then drove back up and I've been alone all week. And the first 2 days were like tight. This is great. I can just like.
Wait. Tell us first about what happened to you.
What happened to me? Did I already
forget? What was the shittiest thing about your whole week at the beginning?
Oh, I got my period.
No.
Wait, what else?
No, tell us about what your neighbors did to you.
Oh. Dude, I blacked that out. I honestly blacked that out. Okay.
I got my period.
My first one, and I don't like it.
I know. Okay. That's why we didn't record also, because Kaylee and I are now bleeding, and we're just trying to adjust.
Yeah. Kaylee and I are now bleeding.
We okay. record around our cycles.
Okay, so the seriousness, I wish you guys could see how serious Katie said that, and then she took a giant drink of like a pink Monster energy can.
Which isn't a lie, because we only did 2 episodes this month and we both bleed at different times, and it just so happened to be we didn't record on both the weeks we started bleeding.
We didn't feel so, like just it. So you know. We didn't want to. No,
bitches.
Okay, so
tell us about the victimization that happened.
Yeah, okay, so this is so, like, not a big deal, but I'm like, okay, let me.
It was fucking wild.
I had to tell everyone. I, like, texted Danny. I, like, called Ashley. Everyone had to get the breaking news, but my neighbors are really, really nice. They're very cool. They're from Eugene. I love them.
Okay, I love that you're talking quietly right now because you're afraid they can't hear you.
I'm scared of talking shit. They're not even below me. They're, like, over away and below me. And my window is shut, but I'm paranoid. So I just get home from the gym, is the first gym session I got to for the week, because I was on my period and I felt like shit, and I was like, awesome, like, I'm gonna shower, I'm gonna make something for dinner, I'm gonna watch TV, and I'm just gonna have, like, a really chill night to myself, pumped for it. And then my neighbor texts me and calls me, and she's like, hey, is there, like, what are you doing right now? We kind of have, like, a last minute emergency. And I'm like, well, I literally just parked my car and just got home from the gym. What do you need? And she was like, we got Jack White tickets, concert tickets tonight. And we just got this new dog. Like, this new dog is here now. Like, it just showed up today and we're trying to leave and the dog keeps barking. Is there any way that you can come over and watch her? I ask if the dog can come over to my house instead. They said they'd prefer if I went over there. I say, okay. I'm a huge people pleaser and I really want to, like, I can't say no. We're on the phone. We're talking, like, basically in person. You're probably looking at me from my car. Like, I can't back down. So I'm like, okay, well, let me just run up to my house and grab some stuff and I'll come down. So I grab my book, I grab my laptop, I grab my dog, and I grab, like, my dog's food because she has to have dinner too. And then I texted my roommate to see if he could feed my cat. So, and then they just, like, are like, oh my God, thank you so much. You're such a lifesaver. Awesome. Awesome. Okay. We really got to go. We're already late. Like, bye. Cool. Party. The dogs finally stopped barking. It's like, it's like a little wiener dog. Bagel. And then their current dog that they have is, like, a wreck. It's sitting on the couch, like, shaking.
Oh, they have crying. A current dog. Mm-hmm. So wait, this is the first time their current dog even knows that it's getting a sibling. Mm-hmm. And you're the new babysitter.
Yeah. And the dog was, like, nipping at Bagel, and I was like, I hope I'm not gonna have to, like, break out a fucking dog fight. Like,
and Bagel is your dog, so you have three dogs now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
in the same environment that do not know each other.
Yeah. So the one is, like, literally didn't eat, didn't go to the bathroom. The whole, which we'll get into it, time I was there, was just sitting on the couch, like, crying and shaking. So I'm like, you guys should maybe, like, figure out a way to do something with your dog's anxiety, because she does it every time you leave. And now you have this new dog and maybe you think that's going to help. But they ended up, like, settling down. I couldn't find dog food anywhere. And I felt super bad, like, looking through, and I was like, I cannot.
Did you find anything good?
No, not really. I was also, like, trying. I was like, I don't want to see anything weird. So
I do. I'm like, I want to see all the weird shit. Where should I start looking? Oh, what's God. The oddest place for dog food?
So I couldn't find dog food anywhere. So I ended up, like, just giving the dog a little bit of, like, my food. And then that other dog just didn't want to eat and wanted to stay on the couch crying. So I'm just reading my book. I don't have the Wi-Fi password. I don't know when they're going to be home. And I text them to check in and the phone vibrates on the table. And I'm like, fuck, they don't have their phone.
They left their phone. Mm-hmm.
They left their phone. And so I...
And how long had you been there at this point?
I went to the gym at 6. I got home at 7. So I was in their house probably by, like, 7:15. Mm-hmm. And then I look up the, like, Jack White concert, Portland. It starts at 8. So I'm like, okay, maybe they, like, really needed to get dinner before or something. And or they were meeting people. Or, like, it's a huge concert. I'm sure parking and, like, all that shit's a nightmare, whatever. So I go on Reddit and try and find, like, how long does this Jack White concert set usually last? And some people are like, sometimes Jack White, like, just really gets into it, man, and, like, vibes off the audience and will play for, like, 3 hours. And I'm like, no.
That's my worst nightmare right now.
I hope he does not do that. And so it gets to be, and I haven't eaten. Like, I haven't showered. I haven't eaten. I didn't have any more protein bars. Like, there wasn't something quick that I could grab at home. And I'm like, I really don't want a DoorDash. I've been spending too much money. I have food.
They should have DoorDashed something for you.
Oh, they couldn't because they didn't even have their phone. So at this point, I'm just reading my book, which is fantastic. And it's getting like super hot in my little fantasy series. So I'm just reading my book. And by 11:30, I'm like, okay, this is like, what do I do? I don't know if the expectation, like, were they really expecting me to stay here for this long? Because at this point, I've been here for 4.5 hours, right? 7 to 8, 8 to 9, 9 to 10, 10 to 11, 11:30. Yeah. Yes, I have to use my hands to count. It's fine.
It's fine. I love it.
And so I'm thinking, okay, I don't have a key to their house. So if I leave, I can't come back. So if something happens, like, these dogs are sleeping and it seems like everything's okay, but if something happened, I wouldn't know. And what if they come home and, you know, just thinking worst case scenario, dog jumped off the couch, has a broken leg. I don't know. Just thinking the worst. And so I'm like, because this dog has never been in their house before. What if I leave and the two dogs fight? And I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I still don't know where the fucking food is. This dog hasn't eaten. It keeps shaking. And finally by 12, by midnight, I had been there for 5 hours. I texted and was like, hey, I know that you don't have your phone on you. I see that it's on the table, so I can't touch base, but I really have to get home. I have to be up at 6 a.m. for a work in the gym tomorrow.
And I haven't been home from work yet today.
Yeah, like I had to fucking go to bed. Yeah. And right as I was texting that and stood up to leave, they came in with fucking voodoo donuts. They had probably gone out and got drinks after and came, which is like, if I agreed to quote unquote babysit and that was going to be my night, I would have gotten my cozies on. I would have ordered pizza. I would have done the whole thing. I didn't know that I was going to be there for more than 2.5 hours.
What did they say?
I was like, hey, how was the concert? And they were like, oh my God, it was so good. Best concert of our lives. You're a lifesaver. Thank you so much. I'm like, totally. I
need $150.
Like, I want to hear more about it later, but it's like way past my bedtime, so I gotta go. And they're like, oh, well, here, and tried to hand me $20. And I was just kind of like, no, like, I'm good. Like, I'm
don't
fine.
Call me ever again.
And then they were like, well, do you want a donut? And I was like, yeah, I'm gonna eat one of your donuts. I haven't eaten in
what
5 hours. It was an old it was an old fashioned maple.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I was like, I'm taking whatever one I want. I don't give a shit. That's your favorite donut. That's coming home with me tonight. And
so is your new dog.
Yeah. And then I ate like a sandwich, like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich at midnight and went to sleep, canceled the gym the next day, was feeling so pissed off about I was just like mad. I was just like, why did I do this? And I had to be like, okay, now I know that it is not my responsibility to fix other people's poor planning.
Mm.
I just don't always have to come in and like save the day and like rescue a situation, but I feel like I have to.
We'll be compassionate for us for a moment. They just asked because they saw the opportunity. They weren't trying to do anything or ruin anyone's night, but like sometimes when we don't show up for ourselves and say no or get an outline of the expectations ahead of time before we commit, we wind up in situations where we feel fucking stuck.
Yeah, exactly. I felt like I was trapped there, dude. I was like, this is miserable. I want to go home. Like, when are they going to be home? Oh, it reminded me of like when I would be like these weird daycares my mom would send me to. That was just like some woman's house. And I'd be like on the couch with all these like screaming, yelling kids and be like, please.
And dude, you know what? We had a really weird babysitter. And she actually hit me one time and my mom took us out of that.
Are you serious?
Yeah, dude. We moved a lot. Like I went to 6 different schools before I was a middle schooler. So like we were always moving, like chasing a good life, you know? And we had one. Like my mom and my stepdad like wound up, you know, finding success and it worked out, but it just took a while. I mean, they were in their 20s with two little kids and just no support system. So, mm-hmm. but my, we had this one daycare lady. We lived in Coos Bay when I was little.
Oh.
And yeah, we lived in, I was born in Salem. We lived in Portland. We lived in Lebanon. We lived in Coos Bay. Then we lived in Seattle and Vail.
Mm.
And then we moved to Michigan.
Okay.
But she used to feed us hot dogs, cut up hot dogs in mac and cheese.
Perfect.
Which is like
favorite meal.
Which is like whatever. But then it got weird. Then it was cold hot dogs in cottage cheese.
Gross.
It was disgusting. It was fucking disgusting. And my mom is like, we didn't eat. This is so shitty. And I'm going to say it. And like for all the listeners, like please don't be mad. My mom didn't eat hillbilly food. Like we ate like fucking Pizza Hut. We didn't eat fucking.
What?
This is so bad.
No, what is hillbilly food?
Cottage cheese and hot dogs.
Oh, okay.
Like we did not eat. Like my mom.
You wanted that lean cuisine. You wanted that.
Yes. Like we were very 90s. Like even though we weren't. Even though we weren't middle class, at a certain point we were, but we always acted like we were, hence the unsurmountable debt that I imagine that they had been carrying around for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was my story about the daycare lady that hit me. I think it was actually her husband, which I think is why my mom was so pissed.
Ooh, yeah.
I got spanked. My mom was like, fucking not, nope, not happening. And you know me. I wasn't going to keep that shit a secret for anybody. I was like, Mom, guess what this fucking old guy did to me today? And she was like, yink.
Yeah.
Nope.
This piece of work fucking touched me.
Oh, my God.
Get me out of here.
Dude, that same day. I'm not going to go into it. Never mind. I'm revisiting things that need to be stay tucked away for my private.
Yeah.
Journal sessions. So anyways, let's wrap the episode up.
Let's
go. I loved hearing about your dog escapades.
Yeah. So anyway, I just had to be like, what can I learn from this?
Oh, okay. Well, maybe that's the theme of this week's episode. What can I learn from this?
What can I learn from things that are really fucking annoying?
And how can I show up with more compassion for self
mm-hmm.
and less fucking judgment, and how can that open up space for the things that bring me joy in my life? And like you said, like getting the details about something before we commit, because yes, as a people pleaser, it feels good in the moment, but really it's some fucking not the high self-worth energy we've been trying to project. Also, but like, way to fucking learn from it, right? Like next time you know.
Yeah. And also just getting all that information, like you were saying, Katie, about that festival opportunity. It's like, okay, how, like, ideally I need people to like come to me in advance and allow me the time to think of questions and ask those questions and then mm-hmm. get all the information and make a decision. But when it's right in the moment and I like am out of it because I just busted my ass for, you know, at the gym and I'm hungry and someone's like, can you help me? And I'm like, yeah, totally. You know, like I don't even think about
no,
it.
No, I can't. Yeah, no.
And if they were like, hey, can you come here and watch our dog for 5 hours tonight? We're going to be gone from 7 to midnight. I would say absolutely not.
And I can
not.
Throw you a $20 bill. Yeah.
I would say absolutely not. That does not work for me. I have,
mm-hmm.
if I was a teenager, like if I was maybe. 13, maybe. It's just it's so funny. So many people ask me to watch their dogs and watch their pets. And
you're like, no.
I don't know. I give off like babysitter energy, which is fine.
Oh my God. It's because they trust you with their loved ones.
I know, which is so sweet.
We love you. We love you.
So maybe that's
love it.
That's another skill I found in the trauma.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
do we want people to do anything?
No, we just want people to fucking say no to shit that doesn't feel good. And you know what? Bail on your responsibilities. It's fine. No. No, but like if you have the ability to do so. Creating space to take your time, get all of the information that you need before you make commitments so you give other people permission to do the same.
Yeah.
You know?
Try and set space away for that, like, proactive thinking, too. Like, okay, now that I have all the information, what do I want to do with this? Like, how am I going to – I don't know. I like to plan my shit out. Okay, bye.
Wait a second. And do we have any new reviews?
I don't know.
What's our podcast name? Try hard. Dude, I do that every time. I'm like, oh, what is it called? What is it called? I found. No, we don't.
Cool. Okay, well, maybe maybe that's what people should do. Leave us a 5-star review. Jesus.
Oh my gosh, really? my husband just worked a 13-hour day, and then he just texted me and said, what kind of pizza do you want? And I'm like, that is my love language. A fucking Beyond Meat protein pizza, which is like so bougie and delicious, but okay. Well, I love you. Thanks for hanging out with me today.
I love you too. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.